Greetings and salutations, and welcome to Full Court Press, our newest show on the game entertainment and media platform. Scott Nason with you, joined by co-host Matt Johnson, as we talk about the world of the Eastern Upper Peninsula and boys basketball. And Matt, this was your idea a few months ago to have a weekly or even bi-weekly show talking about boys basketball here in this area. I thought it was a great idea, so we decided to do our first edition of the show on this very snowy Saturday in the Twin Sioux. Thanks for joining us, and how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we are dealing with the snow here, but I'm rested and relaxed. Normally, this time of year, I'd be really stressed right now, and stress eating and poring over film. And I have watched film, but I've watched film for this, and trust me, it's a lot less stress inducing.
Yes, it is. Matt, of course, assistant coach for the Sioux High Blue Devil football team as well, former coach of the Pickford Panthers boys varsity basketball team, and now he's joining us here on the game to talk about the world of high school basketball, specifically boys. And Matt, the season has started this past week, a few of the teams underway, still a couple teams who have not yet to play, and let's focus this edition of Full Court Press on the EUP Conference and the Eastern Upper Peninsula, and I'm going to turn the floor over to you as far as the teams in it. Of course, one less team with Cedarville and Detour, now a combined unit as those two schools co-opted their high school athletics programs this season. And so I want you to venture your predictions as far as who is going to win the conference and give us a run through of how you think the standings will go. And so, Matt, EUP Conference boys basketball, what do you think, sir?
All right. Well, we will do this countdown style. Right? So
I like it. I like it.
So there's six teams in the EUP. I'm pretty confident in my first place and my sixth place. Okay. I think that Engadine is going to come in sixth. I don't think they're going to win a game in the conference. I believe they have a new coach. They were pretty non-competitive last season, and they didn't have much coming up at the JV level. It's just a situation where when you get a school that size and there's not much talent coming through, I don't anticipate things changing. You know, last year, our team in Pickford, we really struggled. It was kind of a reset year, and we had a running clock against them. So that's where I think that they're going to stand. I did make a change in this between last week and now having seen some games. I have Pickford at number five. Originally I was going to possibly put them as high as two.
Wow.
They have a lot to sort out. They have a change in philosophy and what they're doing. You know, our program, I had Nick Zweifel, Mike Collins with me, Joe Rounds. We were motion offense, man-to-man defense. Steve McConkie, longtime Pickford coach, has taken over as the head coach. He's coached there middle school, elementary. He was assistant varsity coach in the past. He's coached for decades in Pickford. They run the shuffle offense. And he runs zone and man defense. I was man to man defense. They looked in their game again. We'll talk later about their game against Brimley. But they have to figure out, you know, a lineup that will get them to be competitive. They need to find guys that can run the floor. They look slow. And there are some pieces there, I will say. So it wouldn't surprise me if things improved, but they have to get things sorted out. Newberry, this is a hard one for me because I could see Pickford getting ahead of Newberry. I put Newberry at four. The biggest asset that they have, the best asset, Marco Juarez is their point guard. I've always liked Marco. He was their point guard as a freshman, and we had our team that won the conference 2 years ago And I just thought he battled them. He's very quick. He's not so much a shooter, but sets other people up. And I just always was a big fan of his. He's someone who, so sometimes when you're coaching, you take note of players that you'd like to have on your team. And he was always one of them. For number three, now this is the one I keep, I was waffling on. I went back and forth. I'm going to go Cedarville Detour, the Islanders. Yep. Jason Duncan is the coach there, so they're running the Cedarville system. I suspect most of the lineup will be Cedarville guys, except for Aiden Andrus, who played guard for Detour. Cedarville has some pieces. Kason Smith, Posek Sweeney, Mike Perkins, those guys started last year. Smith, I'm particularly high on. I think he could be exceptional. I originally had them as two. I do think that here's kind of the word I'm getting. Maybe a slow start for them. But
yeah.
You got to know Scott, but it's, there's a reason I mark them down here. Their situation, it's Cedarville and Detour. How far is Cedarville from Detour, you think?
About 15 miles, I think.
Okay. So what's happening with transportation, it's like you have a JV and a varsity team back-to-back practices, so they take a bus. You know, if the practice is in Cedarville, they switch off. If it's in Cedarville, the bus takes the Detour kids to Cedarville for practice. And you have the practice, then you have to sit there through the other team's practice. You know, let's say varsity's first and the JV kids have to sit there. So think how late you're getting home. You know, it's one of the logistical things. And I just think that wears down kids after a while. I think that, I think that they are going to underachieve versus if they were all in the same building. But I do like the pieces here. The coaching staff is very good. So I think that they're going to, by the end of the season, I think that they will be the second best team, but I don't think that they will be until the end of the season.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Number it does, two, actually, very much.
Yeah. And part, by the way, that's another thing about a well-coached team. A well-coached, it's not where you start. You know, you get thumped early in the year. That's when your best coaching usually comes up, because you hit the film. You know, that's at the varsity level. It's about film. You watch film and you improve, and they're going to do that. You know, number two, I have Brimley. I originally had them as three. I watched their game against Pickford. They shot incredibly well for December. Usually December shooting is awful.
Yep.
Jack LeBlanc, Perry LeBlanc, they're the coach's kids. They're on the team. Grady Newland, Caleb Lippman. Here's the thing. Time on task, gym time, is one of the big factors that determines whether a kid's going to get better. If you take a kid and you put them in the gym and they shoot like crazy, they're going to be successful as long as they have some modicum of physical ability. These are the coach's kids. So yeah, he's going to make sure that they're doing that. Basically, they played Pickford. It was not a competitive game. And it's because Brimley spent so much more time in the gym over the off season. Their kids are just a lot better because their time commitment has been higher than I suspect their time commitment has probably been higher than most of these teams. So that's two. And number one is Rudyard. I think that they're a safe bet. I mean, they dominated it last year. Big three there. EJ Seggett, Dave Bestham, and Cam Peterson. Jimmy Seggett's the head coach, but Tracy Peterson is coaching with him. You don't get a better basketball coach in the UP than Tracy.
And, I agree.
And Jimmy there is the Energizer Bunny. Just
yes, he is.
Yeah. So I think that they're gonna I think that they're going to win all the conference games decisively. You know, they're
kind of going through. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, they beat the Sioux, and the Sioux has a lot more talent than they've had in a while.
The way I see it, very similar to you, Matt, Rudyard, I think, is head and shoulders above everybody. We'll talk more about the Straits Area Conference coming up in another broadcast, but, you know, certainly off to a good start taking on Sioux High, an improved Sioux High team, and winning that game. And just the pieces they bring back and, you know, having that coaching staff, like you said, Tracy Peterson, I'd put him up against anyone in the area as far as X's and O's and knowing how to get the best out of his athletes. And of course he has his son Cam on there, who is just a sophomore, and he looked like a senior last year out there as Rudyard made their first state semifinal since 1963. And I had the chance to be along for the ride, and I would not be surprised if they get back there this year. So certainly I like what they bring back there. I don't think there's a player in the area quite like Tate Besteman. Of course, he's learned not to get in the foul trouble maybe earlier in his career. Certainly we saw that last year. He did a much better job. So Rudyard certainly, I think, wins the EUP conference. And like you said, I don't see them dropping a game. I do like Brimley as well at number two. I think they play a pretty high tempo style of offense, which will win them a lot of games in the conference. And we saw already them this past week winning a pair of games, which we'll talk about in a moment. And I agree 100% with what you said about Cedarville Detour. I think you're spot on. And, you know, that's a tough situation to start doing a co-opted program, especially in basketball, maybe not as much football because you're playing once a week. And now, you know, I actually looked it up. It's 24 miles between Cedarville and Detour. And I think you're very correct in your assessment. It's going to be probably a little bit of a clunky start. They've already dropped a game this season, but I think that team will be tournament ready when it counts. And I agree. I think they are third place. Newberry's kind of the question mark to me, kind of like with football, Matt. You know, I was pretty high on Newberry at the beginning of the football season. I don't know if they'll have as much success on the hardwood this season, but you mentioned Juarez as well. I think he's a wild card in the conference. Newberry's going to win some games. Will they win the conference? No, I think they finished fourth. And I agree with your bottom two. Pickford, certainly last season winning the district and surprising some folks. Maybe they can get things set with the new system that they're playing. I don't know a lot about Engadine, but certainly numbers hurt that program. Always tough for Engadine. We saw that in football this season, and I would expect in basketball, maybe they win one game, but I think that's about it. So I'm pretty much in agreement with the teams and the order that you have in the standings, as we have our first ever edition of Full Court Press here on the Game Entertainment platform. Scott Nason, along with former Pickford head varsity basketball coach Matt Johnson, talking about the world of basketball in the EUP. And Matt, we alluded to a few of the games that were played this week, a couple that I had my eye on Tuesday. Brimley, they knocked off Harbor Light Christian 81-45. Perry LeBlanc with 30 points in that one. Jacques LeBlanc the third with 12, and Caleb Lippinen added 11. And then on Thursday, the Bays had no trouble with Pickford, winning that game by the score of 85-50. That the first EUP conference game. It was Jacques LeBlanc the third and Grady Newland leading the Bays. LeBlanc the third had 23rd, and Newland had 20. And in that one, Matt, you know, Pickford, they couldn't handle the high tempo offense of Brimley. And I would expect that's how Brimley's going to play. And certainly when they take on Rudyard, you might want to have your abacus out to try to keep up the score in that one. Brimley off to a very good start.
Yeah. The thing that really surprised me was the shooting in December, because
so
here's the deal. If you look normal, if you watch normally, shooting percentages are quite a bit lower in December versus, let's say, February. You know, teams shooting just gets significantly better as the season goes on. So as a coach, I always was a believer in high percentage shots, right? Like, you look at it, and you don't have to be too smart to figure this out. If you shoot higher percentage shots than the opponent, by definition, a higher percentage of them should go in. right? But in December, you really want to emphasize that. So really you would, usually you'd want to have, at least I'd have my teams, you know, you really want to work towards layups if you could, have high percentage shots. Brimley really didn't do that. It was bombs away. And the thing that was unique was they went in. And I think that it's a direct correlation between gym time and off season. They just outworked the opponent. You know, they outworked the opponent in the off season. I think to pay for guys more, you know, talking to some of the guys, and they didn't do any off season activities. So no one's any better, but Brimley is. So that's the outcome you get. You put, you know, time in leads to better product. I wasn't going to be critical of them. They had this zone press that they had put on, and I was talking with Nick Zweifel, he's the Pickford JV coach. Excellent, excellent coach. He stuck around. He's still coaching, and we were talking about the game. And at first I thought that their press kind of hurt them, because early in the game, Pickford was actually scoring and Pickford was struggling so much on offense that I thought you're kind of helping him by letting him, but they really did wear down. And that's the thing about a press. It wears you down. And at the game, the second quarter, the game blew open and it was not competitive at that point. I will say, I thought, Zach Harrison played well for Pickford. He battled in there, scored 19 points. I was happy to see Zach do that. But they certainly have to regroup, because Pickford's going to find St. Ignace next week.
Yeah, certainly that St. Ignace team, one to watch out for, with another great sophomore in Johnny Ingles. They did lose to Boyne City earlier this week. And on Thursday at the Suhai Gymnasium, this is a Straits Area Conference game, but it took one of the teams taking place plays in both, in the Rudyard Bulldogs. It was a back-and-forth affair. Suhai went up, and then E.J. Suggett took it from coast to coast, parted the Red Sea of the Suhai defense as the Bulldogs beat the Suhai Blue Devils for the third straight time as they won by the score of 60-48. Suggett finished with a game-high 22 points for the Bulldogs. Tate Besteman with 12 and Cam Peterson with 10. And, you know, at the end of that game, Matt, credit Coach Suggett and Coach Peterson, they talked about it, according to the media reports here in the newspaper, about, okay, if Suhai scores, we're not going to call a timeout. And I don't think you want the ball in anybody's hands locally than E.J. Suggett. This guy, you know, a four-year starter, obviously we know what he did for football as the Bulldogs made their first semifinal since 1982, an eight player. And just, you know, this guy, just, you want the ball in his hands. And Rudyard, they just know how to win these types of games. And they are scheduled, or I think they were scheduled, to take on Lake Leelanau today. I don't know the status of that game. I imagine it was probably canceled. But Rudyard Bulldogs, maybe not their best game, but they found a way to win in the end.
Yeah. So I think one of the takeaways from that, because I expect Suhai to actually be quite better this year. And we'll talk about them more on the next show. But the issue that Suhai has is they have to figure out their rotation.
Yep,
you know, they're playing so many people that, and what happens, and I had this last year with my team, is you get into a situation where you think, there's really not that big of a difference between player 9 and player 4. Okay. So they seem interchangeable. And you think, you know, someone who's sitting in the stands might think, well, that's a good problem to have. You know, the more depth you have, you think that that's a good thing. Well, it's a blessing and a curse. And the reason it's a curse is because you really don't develop chemistry when you're just changing people all the time. You know, they don't spend that time together, that shorthand, that communication. Whereas Rudyard, they don't have as much depth as the Sioux, but the guys that they have out there, we said the big three, Suggett, Besteman, Peterson, and then you added, Warner and Mayer. Okay. They're going to get most of the minutes. So those guys are practicing together again, the time spent. So everyone thinks depth is a blessing. Look, a lot of the top teams play seven kids. If you have five kids that are night and day better and they get most of the time spent, they're going to get better together. Now, look, at some of these places, the moms and dads and the stands who just are concerned about playing time, they don't like that. Especially, here's the problem. And I had this last year. It was a nightmare. Player nine is not that much worse than player five. Right? So player nine, whoever it is, whatever you're trying to do that game, they don't get as many minutes. So then they're upset. Parents are upset. How come so-and-so is getting all these minutes and, you know, my son is not that much worse. In fact, he might be as good. Well, that might be true, but there's only so many minutes in the game. And if you don't set a lineup out there and let them work, you're not going to get better. And that's one of the issues with Sioux High is they play so many guys. They almost are going to have to find a rotation. Whereas Rudyard, they pretty much play five guys, you know?
Yeah.
And they're good. It's a good lineup. So those kids have played in games. You know, when I had the team with Jimmy Story, Isaac Brown, Nick Eddington, Burnaby, et cetera, those kids always played a lot of high profile games. So when we got into close games, they were never nervous because they were clutch in that situation. And that's how these Rudyard kids are. I would say that I was, late in the game, Sioux High got, what happened is Duggett made a free throw to put him up two, I believe. There was 2.5 seconds. I talked with Tracy. He was saying he was thinking about missing the free throw on purpose so that, cause Sioux High was out of timeouts.
Right.
And they'd have to go the distance of the floor, but they didn't do that. They made the shot. And I was really, Sioux High has to be disappointed with the shot attempt they got because they had 2.5 seconds. What happened? They didn't do a long inbound pass. They did a short inbound pass and a kid basically did an overhand shot, a full court shot. You know, when you have 2.5 seconds, if you can get the ball inbounded near half court in 2 seconds, you could dribble, you get a nice shot. They didn't. And I think one of the things we're talking December, you want to practice situational basketball. Okay. There's 2 seconds left. What do we do? 3 seconds. And they maybe just didn't get around to it because they did not get a good attempt at it at the end of the game.
And one interesting thing that happened at the beginning of that game, Matt, I was listening to the broadcast on 1230 WSOL with Dave Watson and Ray Bell, and they were a little confused because at the beginning of the game, EJ Suggett went to the free throw line, and apparently during warmups, one of these Sioux High players attempted a dunk, and that's a no-no in high school basketball. Have you ever seen that, Matt, in your coaching days where a player starts the game on the free throw line?
Well, I coached Nick Eddington, who liked to dunk. Okay. and also had a knack for trying to see what he could get away with. So so when you're coaching, you have to manage personalities, right? And you don't want to be, you know, you can't be Vince Lombardi with kids anymore, or Bobby Knight, because that style just doesn't work. So you sometimes have to let them have their fun, but you don't want to let them have their fun to the point where it's going to hurt your team. So we always had, like, we knew who the refs were, and we knew, and Nick always knew whether the refs were out. Like, he would not dunk if the refs were out. If they were still in the locker room, he would dunk. Right? So it was almost, and honestly, I didn't have a problem with it. I know some people don't like it, but I didn't have a problem with it. So for the Sioux, Joey Gravel can dunk. I love Joey Gravel. He's a football kid who was up for us. I'm a huge proponent of him. I think his athletic ability is top notch. And obviously he's a sophomore in the varsity, can dunk. You just need to, you know, I remember telling Nick one time, I'm like, everyone knows what you can do athletically. You know, we don't have to put it on display every second, especially if it's going to hurt the team.
Right.
So hopefully got out of, you know, a system, because you look at it in hindsight in a close game like that, and that's a margin of difference. Yes, Scott, long way of saying, I have seen it happen before.
I figured you did. Matt, final question for you before we look at some of the games next week. You alluded to it, talking about parents. And my question to you is, now that you've stepped back for now from the coaching realm as far as high school basketball, what is the most – and I give full credit to anybody that coaches at any level. It's a tough job. You're never going to make anyone happy, much like being athletic director, as both you and I know, being former athletic directors. What's the toughest part of coaching? If you had to pick one thing as far as what you had to deal with, excluding COVID, because hopefully that's something that we won't have to deal with again after this pandemic is over. If you had to pick one thing, what's the most difficult part of coaching high school basketball in this area or in general?
This is the easiest question you've ever asked me.
I figured it was.
Including COVID, it's parents. It's problem parents. Listen, you could walk out and if you could have the game of your life, like you're happy, you could win a playoff game. In fact, this happened. You could win a playoff game and you'll get complaints. How come so-and-so didn't get to play? And you're like, what? And then on top of it, what happens if you have a losing team, your talents is down. Then they really come out because they feel like they can attack. You know, it's harder to do. When you have a team that's really winning, the parents and the kids who are playing, they're not happy, but they sometimes feel like it's hard to publicly be very critical because it'll sound like you're being really self-serving. So they kind of want to wait while the team is down. Listen, I mean, I can give you war stories. Maybe we will at some point of some of the things that happen. And there's a reason people don't want to do this. You would not believe that adults would talk to other adults this way. They act totally irrational. Sometimes it's like wanting to live through the kids. That's the hardest thing. And you see it with kids sometimes because then they have anxiety about whether, you know, they're hearing negative messages at home, basically. And it puts kids in positions. You don't want to have two authority figures talking bad about each other. It creates anxiety for kids. So listen, if there's any parents listening out there, just don't do that. All right. Like, this is not about your glory. And it makes it the process more difficult. It creates anxiety for your kids and it makes it where it's very difficult to coach. It's hard enough, the challenges of coaching, but the truth is, the kids are not the problem. They never are. Okay. So that's you lobbed one over the center of the plate there, Scott.
I figured that was in your strike zone, Matt. And on our next broadcast, we will add a segment, War Stories with Matt Johnson. We'll do one each edition. And I think that's a great idea. Scott Nason and Matt Johnson with you on this first edition of Full Court Press, and let's look ahead to this upcoming week, Matt. As far as our broadcast schedule on Sovereign Communications, we'll have Sioux High girls basketball Tuesday night on 1230 WSOO with Dave Watson, as the Blue Devils losing to Rudyard last night for the first time since 2005. We'll be at Gaylord. Dave will have the call of that one, starting with the tip-off show around 6:45. Our next EUP game of the week on Country 105, Matt Pocket, will be at Pickford for girls basketball as St. Ignace will take on the Pickford Panthers. That one certainly will be a good one. And down the road, yours truly will be filling in for Matt Pocket, and we'll be joined by Matt Johnson as we will have lots of games hopefully coming up. And looking at some of the games next week, Matt, as far as the EUP teams on Tuesday, Pickford will be at St. Ignace. Newberry will be at Cedarville Detour on Thursday. Cedarville Detour will be at Brimley for boys basketball. St. Ignace will be at Sioux High. And, you know, the schedule's still a little light in December, but unlike last season, Matt, we weren't even playing basketball in December. So at least at right now, we have a little more of a normal situation as far as high school basketball. Anything you want to add before we wrap up our first edition of Full Court Press, sir?
I would say, who does Newberry play again?
They play Cedarville Detour.
Yeah, that'll be one. So I would have my eyes on that game as kind of a bellwether as to where those teams are. Although Cedarville has a major advantage because they've already played. So if they end up winning, if Cedarville wins by 10, I would take it as those teams are equal. You have to factor that in. One of the biggest disadvantages in sports is if the other team has played and you have not, because some of the most improvement like happens between games 2 and 1. So I want, when you watch these games and Engadine and Newberry haven't played yet, I would be hesitant to make too much out of it. Honestly, it probably hurt, Pickford, because Brimley had played that game against Harbor Light. St. Ignace and Pickford, I'll be curious to see. I want to see St. Ignace because they had some kids on their team that I was really high on. This is a McLean kid that I really liked as a player. Johnny Ingles, as soon as he steps past half court, he's going to shoot. Okay. I'm interested to see that. I'm interested to see what Pickford does defensively on him. Last year, what we did, we took our best defender, Garrett Orsborne. He's a returning guy. Just loved him to death. Moved him up. Him and Hunter Hagen, two kids that I thought were great on defense. We put him on Johnny Ingles and said, don't say, just stick with him. Wherever he is, you are. And it really frustrated him and made the game competitive. So we'll see whether Pickford can do that. Listen, last thing I'll say, this show, one of the reasons we're doing this, it's going to be different than the others in that we're kind of unfiltered here. I'm giving it to you straight.
Yes, you are.
And that doesn't always happen. People are often, they want to watch what they say. And certainly we're not going to say derogatory things just to say them. But I'm going to call it like I see it. And that's how we're going to run the show.
Well, we are looking forward to more chat about the world of local basketball at the high school level. And Matt, appreciate you joining us here for this first edition of Full Court Press. Have fun shoveling and snow blowing today, and we'll have our next edition probably next weekend. We still have to figure out a schedule, but great start to Full Court Press. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you in our next edition, sir.
All right, Scott, look forward to it. Have a good week.
You as well. That's going to do it for this inaugural edition of Full Court Press. For Matt Johnson, my name is Scott Nason, and we will talk to you next week for our next edition of Full Court Press here on the Game Entertainment and Sports Media.